Joshua chapter 22, and if you would stand with us, please, I reverence the word of God if you're able to do so. Joshua chapter 22, and then we'll look in 2 Peter chapter 3 in just a moment. Joshua chapter 22, Joshua is, of course, he's getting ready to pass off the scene, and now they're entering a new day. They're in Canaan land, and they're just about got everything set up and everything established and ready to begin a new era. And in Joshua 22, verse 1, he said, "Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, and said to them, 'You have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get ye unto your tents, and to the land of your possessions, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul.'" Verse 5, "But take diligent heed." And I want to speak to you this morning on days of diligence. Days of diligence. Heavenly Father, I pray to help us this morning as Joshua and these 2.5 tribes were beginning a new day, a new era. Lord, and Joshua commanded them, he urged them to be diligent in the day that you had given them. Lord, we're going to look at another passage of scripture in just a moment in 2 Peter, where Peter again urges these people, Lord, in the day and age in which they live, to be diligent. And Lord, I thank you for another year you've given us to serve you. Lord, we are filled with anticipation and excitement, Lord, not only about what you've done for us in the past, but Lord, what you continue to do for us in the future. And Lord, we would pray that we would be diligent servants of you in the days that you've given to us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to find in this passage that Peter also, Joshua is emphasizing a new day, a new era, a new opportunity for the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. And in 2 Peter, Peter is urging, Peter is also getting ready to go off the scene, and he is encouraging the people in the last day. We're living in what some would call perilous days or difficult days, and so they ought to be days of diligence. And we find that in 2 Peter. Notice the words or the verses in 2 Peter chapter 3 that call attention to the days, our time, a period of time. Notice verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says that it talks about the last days. In verse 7, he talks about the day of judgment. In verse 8, he talks about a day being 1,000 years as the Lord, and one day, 1,000 years as one day. In verse 10, he talks about the day of the Lord. In verse 12, he talks about the day of God. And so Joshua was emphasizing a new day, a new era, a new opportunity. And Peter's also emphasizing a new day, a new era, a new opportunity. And so the first Sunday, first day of 2017, I want to remind us there's a new day, a new era, a new opportunity. There's one word that is found also in the book of Joshua that is found again in 2 Peter. Look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and notice if you would please. And verse 14. We find the same word found here again. "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent." And so Joshua commanded in his day that in the day and age in which we live, the era, the new opportunities, let's be diligent. Peter reminds these folks in these the days in which Peter was speaking. These are different days, they're difficult days, they're perilous days, they're days of opportunity, they're days that are new days and days of a new era. And Peter uses the same word, diligence. And so I want to use that same word this morning. Let's be diligent. Days of diligence. Now, what causes us? We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, look in this passage. He said, "Preacher, what is involved in days of diligence?" I don't know about you, but I'm to some degree, I don't know if we ought to be here or not. John Hagee said that the rapture is going to take place on the 29th of last month. Well, evidently, he missed it again. That's not the first time he's missed it, but he missed it again. And so I don't know if we're just a bunch of heathen here this morning or if we missed the rapture or what, but I think he was off on that. We do know this, that we're living in the last days. It doesn't take rocket science to figure out that we're living in the days of the scoffers, as he talks about in this passage of Scripture. We're living in the days of false prophets. We're living in the days, certainly, where the love of many have waxed cold. We certainly live in that day. So we know by a number of Scriptures that we're living in the last days. I believe with all my heart, these are the days that Jesus Christ is going to come again. Brother Little said that he would be shocked if he didn't live till Jesus comes. And Brother Little didn't quite make it. I'm going to tell you, I'll be even more shocked if our generation makes it until Jesus comes. I don't know when he's going to come, but I know this from Scripture, that the days he has given us ought to be days of diligence. If it was important for Joshua's day, and it was important for Peter's day, I think it's just as important for our day that our days be days of diligence. What does that involve? Well, notice number one, first of all, days of diligence involve days of praise. If we have days of diligence, and by the way, this is for every era, that God is to be praised. There's talking about the song that was sung a while ago. He's the only king. He's the only king that could die for our sins. He's the only king that could come up out of the grave. He's the only king that could redeem us from our sins. By the way, he's also the only king that ought to be worshipped. Some of you, well, if you listen to me once, you probably know, I'm a little bit fanatical about college football. I kind of enjoy it. I had the time of my life yesterday. I'm just going to say that. But I'm going to tell you, I was somewhat sickened a little bit. Was watching a little bit of the, as my wife would call it, the pre-game show. And we were getting ready to go to meet with her family for Christmas yesterday at lunch. And I was watching, and there were, a promotion was going on about the bowl games and all. And I thought I heard a word in the promotion. I thought, no, I didn't hear that. And then I sat and listened to it. It was exactly what I heard. They were talking about the unity that comes from college football and the camaraderie and the thing that brings them together. And this is what they said. There was a song. I don't know where the song came from. I have no idea. But this is what the song said. This is our, anybody know what it is? This is our church. And I thought, you know, they're exactly right. Because that is what they worship. And I'll tell you, the Bible said he's given us all things richly to enjoy. And I think you can enjoy those things. But I'll tell you, that's a sad day. It's a sad indictment when the American culture has got to the point where college football is their church. But I'll tell you, that's exactly where many people are today. He is the only king that deserves being worshipped. Not college football, not some national championship, not some TV star, not some movie star. I know I'm getting off a subject here. May I say to you, he is the only one that is worthy of worship. He is the only king. So these days ought to be days of praise. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. College football didn't make this day. They didn't make yesterday. They're not going to make tomorrow. The Lord made the day. Well, rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 35, verse 28. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. I'm sorry, I read the verse wrong. Psalm 35, verse 28. My tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise 11 o'clock on Sunday morning only. That's not what it said. He said all the day long. Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. That our mouth be filled with his praise and his honor all the day. Now I'll tell you, that is a mouthful. Let our mouth be filled. That means nothing else will fit in. No criticism. No anger, no wrath, no malice, no jealousy, no strife, no envy. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise all the day long. Psalm 145, verse 2. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. I'm telling the last days and days of diligence, they ought to be days of praise. Now listen, everybody in this room, you can find something to gripe about. Some may gripe about the rain today. Some may gripe about maybe the economy or your job or any number of things. We can always find something to gripe about. We can always find something. May I say to you, every day ought to be filled with the praise of God. Wouldn't it make a great difference this year in this church, in your family, in your household, on the job, where you go to school, if every day you spent some part of that day just praising God and being thankful for what God has done for you? Instead, we'll go to work and we'll grumble and gripe and complain about about this and about that. We'll fuss about it. I'll tell you, days of diligence ought to be days where we just simply praise God. They always have something to gripe about, but I'll tell you, as a believer, you always have something to be thankful for. The fact we're not in hell already is enough to just make a saint praise God all day long. So days of diligence, number one, are days of praise. Number two, very quickly, days of diligence are days of perception. Look, if you would, please, in 2 Peter chapter 3, and notice verse 1. Verse 1, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Look in verse 2, "that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken." Verse 3, "that knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts." Verse 8, "but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." In verse 1, he talks about our minds. Verse 2, he said, "be mindful." Verse 3, he said, "no." Verse 8, he said, "don't be ignorant." So I think there's an emphasis here that Peter says the last days ought to be days of diligence, and they ought to be days of perception. 2 Peter chapter 1. Go back, if you will, please, for just a moment to 2 Peter chapter 1. Brother Ray McCormick preached at our winter retreat this year, and what a fantastic job he did in preaching for us. And excuse me, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry, 2 Peter chapter 1. And he did a great job of speaking. He spent about 3 services on this passage of Scripture, and what a tremendous time it was. Notice, if you will, please, verse 8. In verse 5, he says, "add to your faith." And he gives a list of things, verse 5, 6, and 7. In verse 8, he said, "for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful." Now, I've read that passage many times, and be honest with you, that's when my brain stopped. Now, I know some of you are thinking, no, it stopped long before that. But when I read that verse, in my mind, that's where it stopped. He said in verse 8, "that you neither be barren nor unfruitful." But notice the next phrase, "that you be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Boy, he read that passage of Scripture, and I thought to myself, you know, there's no wonder that there are people that are in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, been saved 20, 30 years, and they will say to me or say to someone else, "well, you know, I just don't understand why the Bible does this, or why God says that, or why this is wrong, or that, why that is wrong." I'll tell you why. Because they're not fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, as believers, we ought to be astute students of the Word of God. We ought not be ignorant. We ought to know what the Bible says. We ought to know what we believe and why we believe it and what's going on in the last days. We ought not, you know why so many believers are shaken? I use the word believers loosely. Why so many believers are shaken by the events of the last days? Because they do not know this book. If we know this book, we won't be shocked. I hear preachers who will get so frustrated and so down the mouth because the last days of the world is horrible. Well, haven't you ever read the book? The book tells you it's going to be that way. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. Don't be caught off guard. Don't be discouraged by it. That just means the end is near. That means it's closer to Jesus coming. And so in the last days, we ought to be men and women of perception. We preached a couple Sundays ago about truth. And we live in a day of where falsehood abounds everywhere. Where false teaching. And again, I was just sickened when I heard that statement yesterday, that this is our church and this is where we worship. I want to tell you, no wonder our young people are so confused about their priorities in life. Their priorities are not oftentimes things of God. Boy, I remember when I was growing up, my sister and I, we both had drug problems. Our parents drug us to church on Sunday morning. They drug us to church on Sunday night. They drug us to church on Wednesday night. They drug us to church every time we had revival services. But now parents today will find every excuse under the sun to miss the house of God. Can I just say, and I know it's the first Sunday of the year. I want to be positive. I want to be upbeat. I want to be encouraging. But can I just say, and I say this with a heart that's burdened and heavy. I don't understand why parents don't make an environment like camp a priority. Hey, this word's where the Word of God is being preached and your children being fed. They have to bow the garbage of the year of the secular world all year long. There will be a haven, a place where they can come and get instruction from the Word of God. It's important. that they know the book. These ought to be days of praise. They ought to be days of perception. We ought not walk around with our head in the sand wondering what's going on. We ought to be alert to the false philosophies and the false things of our days. He said, don't be ignorant, be mind, verse 2, but that it should be in your mind, verse 1 rather, your pure minds, verse 2, be mindful, verse 3, no, verse 8, don't be ignorant. Four times in this passage of Scripture, he said, be good students of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul put emphasis on being a student of the Word of God. So these days of diligence, if we're going to be diligent in the last days, they ought to be days of praise. You say, preacher, well, this is difficult days. Yes, they are. Say, preacher, we face some opposition, and yes, we do. Some of you, as I said earlier, you can't wait to get 2000. You couldn't wait to get 2016 in the past. And by the way, I understand that. We all have years that way, and we look back, and boy, it's just been a difficult year, and I understand that. But can I say to you, our days ought to be filled with praise for what God has done. It ought to be days of perception. We ought not be ignorant of what's going on. We ought not be caught off guard. We certainly ought not be duped by the devil. And boy, so many people are. Thinking that a relationship is going to bring them happiness. Or thinking that a job is going to bring them happiness. Or thinking that a paycheck is going to satisfy them. Or a new home or a new car some notoriety or fame or some popularity, all that's going to bring them fulfillment in life, and none of that can fill the gap that Jesus Christ fills. None of it. So there'll be days of perception. Number three, very quickly, they all be days with the right perspective. Notice verse 11 of 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in a holy conversation in godliness? Look at verse 11. He says, seeing. Look in verse 12. He says, looking. Look in verse 13. He said, we look, verse 14, the word seeing again. And so in these four verses, we find again the word seeing twice, the word looking once, and the word look in verse 14 as well. We find the word look again, verse 14. Beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. And so days of diligence ought to be days of praise. They ought to be days of perception. They ought to be days of the right perspective. Notice in verse 12, we see they ought to be days of anticipation. Notice verse 12, the Bible says, looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God. Looking for and hasting unto. That word hasting means with great anticipation. It means to look forward with something. Now that Megan is home and she's down with Dylan's family this next couple of days, and they're house hunting and look at all those things. And now that she's home and Christmas is over, oh, brother Roger, don't you look at me that way. I just want to come back here and pop. Those are days of anticipation. Oh, next Friday, next Saturday, I guess, would you put me on the top of your prayer list next Saturday? Please, I'm begging you. Pray for me next Saturday. We'll be going to either Tallahassee or Valdosta somewhere, and we're going wedding dress shopping with the bride and the mother and the mother of the bride and the mother-in-law of the bride and all the bridesmaids, and just go ahead and shoot me now. You know, they're anticipating. We've already started a countdown. We're already getting the day after Christmas. Megan got up. She said, Dad, I got to go to the mall and get the sales. I said, what? You got everything for Christmas? She said, I got to buy Christmas stuff for next year. You know, decorations, all that kind of stuff, get them cheap while they're on sale. She's already anticipating. Can I say to you, that's going to be a great day for her, and may not be a great day for him, but I don't know. It's going to be a great day for somebody. I want to tell you, there's a greater day coming than May 19th and the wedding that's coming up. And that's the day when you and I are joined as a bride of Christ with the bridegroom. I want to tell you, I don't know about you, but we ought to be anticipating that day. We ought to be longing for that day. I've given this illustration before, Brother James Crumpton, and we came here and preached one time, and he went and had prayer before he left at the airport. And I remember him saying, Lord, please come quickly. I sure do want to see you. And boy, tears were streaming down his cheeks. And you could tell there was a longing for home. There was a longing for heaven. I think about someone I heard about just recently who was on their deathbed, and they've been a Christian for a number of years, and they said, "I just want to go home. I just want to go home." Can I say to you that the longer we live here, the more we feel at home over there? And there's coming a day when Jesus Christ is coming again. There'll be no more sickness, no more death, no more heartache, no more pain, but we'll be in a place of a perfect environment, and we'll be the one who loved us enough to die for us. I want to tell you, that ought to be a day that we anticipate and we look forward to. We ought to be, our perspective ought to be what we're looking. Boy, we look around today and we look at how bad the economy is, and we look how bad the culture is, and we look how bad politics are. Why don't we look forward? Why don't we look up? I'll tell you, the end is coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. We're going to spend an eternity with Him. And Peter said, by the way, Peter is writing to the most persecuted group that was found in Scripture. If there was ever a group of believers that had a reason to look forward to that day, it was a group of people in Peter's day. Peter, the church that he wrote to, were new persecution. They had seen their loved ones burned at the stake. They had seen their loved ones, their friends, their teachers, their Bible believers thrown into the Colosseum to be ripped apart by the lions. They had seen that. I don't tell you, if there was anybody that had a reason to look for a better day, it was this group. And I want to tell you, as we look at our culture and our society and how wicked our world has become, if there's any group that ought to be anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought not be down in the mouth about the economy and down the mouth about how wicked our world is. We ought to be excited that Jesus Christ is coming soon. There ought to be a perspective in diligent days. Then number one, there's anticipation. Number two, there's preparation. Look in verse 13. In verse 11, he says, "Seeing then, what manner of persons ought ye to be?" Well, that's a good question. Notice verse 13. He said, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth." Not only is there anticipation, but there's preparation. Why do we prepare for that? Well, Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 tells, in Philippians 4, verse 5, he said, "Let your moderation be known in all men. The Lord is at hand." This is what he said. The time of Jesus Christ is coming. The Lord is at hand. He's coming soon. So what do we do? Verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." How do we prepare for that day? Number one, we pray. We pray. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." When Paul talks in Philippians chapter 4 and Peter talks in 1 Peter chapter 4 about the end being, here's what they both say. They both said, "Be sober and watch unto prayer." The closer we get to the coming of Jesus Christ, the more time we ought to spend in prayer. I agree with what John R. Rice once said, that all of our failures are prayer failures. I don't know if there's any area in which we fail more in the Christian life. I'm going to speak for myself now. Than a lack of prayer. A lack of prayer. Paul said we ought to be, Peter said we ought to anticipate his coming. We ought to be preparing for his coming. How do we do that? Well, number one, we do it through prayer, but notice number two, we do it through patience. Turn, if you would, please, over a few pages to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. James is writing James chapter 5, and he tells, how do we prepare for the last days? Well, first of all, it takes a lot of prayer. It takes prayer. If we're going to stay connected, if we're going to endure what we endure in the last days, boy, it takes prayer. Notice the next thing it takes, James chapter 5, verse 7. He said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain." Verse 8, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." In verse 7, he mentions patience three times, and he mentions the coming of the Lord. In verse 8, he mentions patience again, and again he mentions the coming of the Lord. So if Jesus Christ is coming soon, and he is, the Bible tells us to be patient. To be patient. When the journey gets long, the more impatient we become often. I have one of my daughters who loves to travel. I mean, loves to travel. But boy, she gets mighty impatient on the trip. About 4 or 5 hours. I mean, you know, we almost want to give her some Benadryl, some high doses of Benadryl, you know, and put her in the back seat. But she gets real impatient. I want to tell you, sometimes on the trip, we get impatient. Be patient. When's the Lord coming back, Brother Keith? I have no idea. I'm not going to be foolish enough to set a date either. I think the Bible tells us that's foolish. I don't know when it's coming back, but I do know this. I do know there will be times when it is going to involve patience. And so Paul reminds us, and Peter reminds us to be patient. The perspective, if we're going to look in the last, be diligent in the last days, it's going to take the right perspective. Let's anticipate what Jesus Christ has for us. Then let's be patient, preparation. And then number three, dedication. So the right perspective involves anticipation, it involves preparation, and involves dedication. Notice verse 14, if you would please. He said, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So if we're going to have days of diligence, if these are days of diligence, and they are, there were days of diligence in Joshua's day, there were days of diligence in Peter's day, these are days of diligence in our day, it's going to involve praise, it's going to involve perception, it's going to involve the right perspective, and that perspective involves, verse 14, looking to be diligent. Be dedicated. Be dedicated. Boy, there are so many things that will distract us. There are so many things that will detour us. There are so many things that will discourage us. I'm convinced with all my heart that one of the greatest tools of the devil today is to allow all the things that we enjoy to distract us from what we ought to be doing as believers. There's a lot of good things you can be involved in. Voluntary is nothing greater than you can be involved in than the body of Christ giving out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing greater. There's a lot of things that encourage us. There may be a lot of things that will edify us. There may be a lot of things that will educate us. There may be a number of things that will enhance our life. But what are we doing about evangelism and getting the gospel of Jesus Christ? That is his heartbeat. May I say to you, we ought to be dedicated in giving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Days of diligence involve praise. They involve perception, knowing the Word of God, having the Spirit of God working in us, and being able to be sensitive to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. They involve days of perspective. Then notice number four very quickly. They have also involved days of pursuing. Days of diligence are days of pursuing. Turn if you would please, look in verse 18. The last thing that Peter says in verse 18 is grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turn if you would please to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Peter says, Romans chapter 13, we'll look at a couple verses there. Peter said the last exhortation he gives in 2 Peter is to grow. Now, I want to tell you, that's an amazing statement to me. Because Peter is speaking to a group of people that have been persecuted. They're not novices. These are not new believers. Peter's not speaking to a group of people that don't know Scripture. And yet Peter is saying to a group of people who have been knowledgeable enough to endure suffering, endure persecution, Paul says to them, but grow in grace. You know what Paul is saying? Peter's saying? Peter's saying we never stop growing until we get to heaven. Still pursuing. Still pursuing. Notice what the Bible said in Romans chapter 13, if you would please. Romans chapter 13, and look in verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Jesus Christ is coming, is closer than it's ever been before. So it's time to wake up. Wake up out of our sleep. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Verse 11 and verse 12 tells us that the night is spent, the day is at hand. Let us pursue, let us move forward in the work of Christ. Peter said days of diligence involve days of praise. Let's thank God. Let's praise God for what he's done. I look to the blessings upon this church. I was visiting this past week with Sister Agnes Barfield. And I get to go visit her recently on occasion. And visiting with her this past week. And I never sit down with Miss Agnes that she does not talk about the days of the beginning of Pine Bluff Baptist Church. Every time I go visit her, I mean every time, somewhere in the conversation of about a 30, 45 hour, minute, hour long conversation, somewhere in the point in time, tears are going to start streaming down her cheeks. And a smile is going to break out on her face. He says, Brother Keith, I remember. And she'll start talking about this corner back here where it all started in that barracks. And she'll talk about what God has done and the missionaries that we've sent out and the preacher boys that have been called out, what God has done. And I'll tell you, I get stirred and encouraged and challenged because she's reminded and being mindful of what God has done, and she's praising God for what God has done. I'll tell you, these days of diligence have to involve praise. They must involve perception. We must know what's going on in the last days. Parents, I want to tell you, it is more necessary now that you be aware of what's going on in the public schools and in your children's lives than ever before. I like what Brother McCormick said. He said, I'm waiting. He has a son, 15 years old. He said, I don't think he's will do it, but he said, I'm waiting for my son to tell me this is my room and you can't come in it. He said, because I'm going to take the house mortgage and I'm going to divide it by seven. And I'm going to say, here's your bill. And I'm going to take the food bill and divide it by seven and say, here's your bill. And I'm going to take the light bill and the cable bill and the internet bill and divide it by seven and say, here's your bill. I want to tell you, parents, that room is your room and you have every right to go in it and know what's going on. By the way, if you got any sense at all, they have no business closing the door either. We have an open door policy at my house. That means my children can come and talk to me anytime they want to, and their door is always open. This is a matter of modesty. That's another issue. But I'll tell you, parents, it is so important that we be perceptive in these days. The devil is subtle, and he's a deceiver. And we need to be alert and awake if we're going to protect our children and grandchildren. I want to tell you, these days are days of perception. They're also days of perspective. Hey, let's get our head out of the sand. Let's stop looking at the doom and gloom of society and culture and economy and all those things and say, well, it just bear in mind is that we've got a better day coming, and I believe it's coming soon. These days of diligence are involved to be days of perspective. These days of diligence ought to be days of pursuing. Well, I thank God for everything that has happened at Pine Bluff Baptist Church. And I say this as sincerely and as honestly as I possibly can. I am so honored to just be able to serve with you people. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's an honor for me just to serve in this great place. But I want to tell you, God did not bring us here to just sit and be out on 2017. He brought us here to keep pursuing, to keep going, to keep giving, to keep growing, to keep evangelizing, to keep being a haven, a place where people can come and hear the truth of the Word of God and find hope in Jesus Christ. God wants us to still, in this day, to be pursuing until Jesus comes. Jesus said, occupy till it gets close. No, that's not what he said. He said, occupy till 2017. And you can't. No. He said, occupy till I come. So I want to tell you, these days of diligence ought to be days in which we're still pursuing God's working in this place. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about 2017. I'm excited about what God's going to do. This may be the year that Jesus comes back. It might be. It might not be. But I do know this. If it's not, I hope we'll still be pursuing. When 2018 rolls around and some of us move a little bit slower and with even less hair than what we have right now, I don't tell you, I hope I'm still pursuing. Joshua said, this is a new day. Be diligent. Peter said, this is a new day. Be diligent. I say to you this morning, this is a new day. Let's be diligent in these days.